phrase, soups, salads, and desserts, is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Miliano. For hours, a man with a gun has been holding hostage two girls inside Platte Canyon High School in Bailey, Colorado, southwest of Denver. And a short time ago, someone came out on a gurney. No word on who it was. Then there was a report the gunman himself was taken into custody. Still waiting for confirmation. County spokeswoman Jackie Kelly says it's been a frustrating several hours for hundreds of parents, not to mention police who remember Columbine all too well.
There's no question that there are people here today that were at Columbine. Right now, the scenario is quite different.
Hundreds of students have been evacuated, parents scrambling to track down their kids. Flamboyant Dallas Cowboys receiver Terrell Owens is denying a police report that he attempted suicide, tried to harm himself, taking a fistful of prescription painkillers before being rushed to a Dallas hospital last night.
I went home yesterday after I left the facility, and I took a couple pain pills, and then I had some treatment. I had a physician over treating my hand, and I think after that I was just kind of groggy a little bit, and took some extra pills with my supplement.
But in no way, he said, was he trying to kill himself. And maybe to prove it, he was out catching passes this afternoon and proclaimed himself very capable of going out there and playing on Sunday, despite whatever happened last night, in spite of a broken hand last month. Big meeting this evening between two leaders who have had no reservations over the past few days, detailing what's wrong with the other guy. The presidents of Pakistan and Afghanistan breaking bread with President Bush this evening for a summit on the war on terror. CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
President Bush says he was only joking when he promised to check for body language at the meeting, but there is an element of truth as he tries to mediate between the often feuding leaders of Pakistan and Afghanistan. Now there's new urgency to the diplomacy because of the upsurge in Taliban violence in Afghanistan. Many experts say the Taliban have found safe haven in Pakistan. With 20,000 U.S. troops in deeply troubled Afghanistan, this meeting carries high stakes for President Bush.
A new poll of Iraqis has been released. Dr. Steve Kull is the director of the Program on International Policy Attitudes at the University of Maryland.
Probably the most significant finding from the point of view of the United States is that 7 in 10 Iraqis now want U.S.-led forces out of Iraq within the year.
But there's more. Kull says for a majority of Iraqis, killing Americans is okay.
Probably the most disturbing finding of the study is that approval of attacks on U.S.-led forces has increased from 47% in January to 61% today.
Yesterday, we told you the man who co-wrote this song was dead. Truth be told, Paul Vance is alive and well. It was Paul Valkenburg who died, a guy who told everyone, including his wife apparently, it was he who wrote the 1960s hit. And when he died, she told the Associated Press about his claim to fame. Our apologies to Paul Vance. Final bell's been sounded. The Dow closed and jumped up just under 20 points. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar emergency, this is Ryan.
Yes, ma'am, my wife, she started having a seizure, please.
So let me get emergency services online.
Christina.
Every month, OnStar offers help in thousands of emergencies.
This is Ryan with OnStar. I have a customer saying his wife just had a seizure on U.S. Highway 283.
What's happening?
Sorry, please. Christina, are you okay? Can you hear me? Can you see me? I love you. Are you okay?
Sir, try to stay calm. How old is she?
33 years old.
Okay, sir, we'll get help out to you.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
You're pulling up in front of the truck right now.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
New developments out of Denver, where two hostages were being held by a man with a gun. Let's go live now to Lee Frank in Denver. We're in Bailey, Colorado, for all the details. Lee?
It's over, is what a sheriff spokeswoman tells me. nearly 4 hours after a gunman burst into the school, took 6 people hostage. He released 4 of them shortly after officers arrived on the scene. 2 girls who were held hostage are now being examined. 1 person was taken away from the scene on a helicopter stretcher, but it's over, the hostage crisis at Platte Canyon High School in Bailey, Colorado. Lou?
Thanks, Lee Frank, reporting to us from Bailey, Colorado. California fire authorities are recommending that residents in 4 mountain towns clear out. A stubborn wildfire north of Los Angeles is being fanned by erratic winds and challenging nearly 4,000 firefighters with aircraft and bulldozers. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Aflac for Small Business presents today's Small Business Tip. While growing your small business, you don't always have to go it alone. Build a network of knowledgeable and trusted people such as your banker, lawyer, and financial advisor so that they'll understand your business's long-term goals and can help you with important decisions. Seize opportunities to interact with other business owners who have overcome the same obstacles you face. This Small Business Tip was brought to you by Aflac for Small Business, providing insurance value for your small business. To find out more on this topic and other small business tips, go to aflacsb.com.
Peter B. Collins.
Welcome, friends, and everybody else, to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from San Francisco. This is an unscripted, unrehearsed, progressive talk program, and we've got 3 hours to talk with you about important issues of the day. Oh, and they keep piling up. I wish we had about 6 hours today, but we'll do what we can in the 3 that we have. Coming up shortly after our first break, Professor Marjorie Cohn will join us. She's a constitutional law professor at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. And we're going to talk about the awful legislation on Capitol Hill relating to detention, interrogation, and the so-called military tribunals.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road.
And I wonder, is there a speed limit on the road to hell? We'll see if we can observe it along the way. Max Blumenthal joins us in about a half an hour. He writes for The Nation and also reports for Media Matters for America. And he reports that there is a little revolution brewing inside the newsroom at the Washington Times. No, not the Washington Post, the Washington Times. That's also known as the Mooney paper because Reverend Sung Myung Moon of the Unification Church has pumped over $2 billion into keeping that newspaper going, and it is part of the right-wing message machine. So we're going to talk with Max Blumenthal about that. Next hour, Joanne Mariner joins us from Human Rights Watch as we continue our discussion about the detainees, torture, and habeas corpus. And we're also going to be talking with 2 journalists this afternoon, Larissa Alexandrovna, our regular contributor from RawStory.com, and Dave Lindorf, who writes for The Nation. He also wrote the book about impeachment that was published by the Center for Constitutional Rights. And they both have new information about the prospect of a war with Iran, or at least military action instituted by the United States against Iran, in the very near future, in fact, perhaps even before the November 7th elections. So that's all ahead, plus plenty of room for your calls in the free speech zone. You're welcome to call the program whenever the urge strikes you and participate. The number to use is 888-573-8372. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. And you can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And to get the program started today, I wanted to pay tribute to the fine public servants who work at the National Security Agency. On this program, we occasionally identify our own personal minder there at the NSA. We call him Benny. We like to play this annoying little sound, hoping he pulls his earbud out. I can't stand it. But somebody emailed me a Flash cartoon. This is a web animation piece that was put together by Walt Handelsman, who is a cartoonist, a political cartoonist for Newsday in New York. And this is his own tribute to the National Security Agency. and it's going to work pretty well just listening to the audio track. We see a scene of about a dozen individuals over at the NSA at the Telephone Monitoring Center. And apologies to Stevie Wonder.
The stuff we hear, like if you're queer. Or purchased girls gone wild, take 6 times this year. Your privacy, till recently. But now that friggin' Bill of Rights don't reject to me. Now Congress may complain all day, but they just made our boss the head of the CIA. You just call and we're listening. You just call to check in on your mom. Our encryption guy heard the whole thing. They need chicken soup, it's code word for a bomb. You just call and we're listening. While you talk, we were as quiet as a mouse. You just said you're at Gertrude's visiting. Now we wonder if both some are in your house. In your house.
We're gonna check.
Is he in your house?
And you heard the audio track. The visual is just a group of people sitting around computer screens and with telephone headsets and tape recording equipment, that sort of thing. Walt Handelsman, if you Google Walt Handelsman and Newsday, you can probably find that cartoon online and pass it along to your friends. And, of course, the email that you send is subject to interception by the National Security Agency. We're going to take a quick break and return with Marjorie Cohn from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? Hello?
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen every Sunday morning at 10 and learn from the experts about investing, 1031 exchanges, exit strategies, and the big question, when the real estate market goes down, is it the time to sell or buy? Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 98 BMW 740iL in showroom condition. The Kelley Blue Book wholesale is $14,400. The sale price for this week only is $9,990.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues at 16 minutes past the hour. Hey, I got some good news and bad news out of Washington. The good news is it appears that the NSA bill is not going to get cleared of both houses by the end of the session this Friday. So it'll be left for the lame duck session or for a future Congress to deal with. Oh, and the bad news, they think they will get a detention, torture, and a military commissions bill through both houses by the end of this week. And on that subject, we turn to Dr. Marjorie Cohn. She is a professor of law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego and the incoming president of the National Lawyers Guild. Marjorie Cohn, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter.
Professor, I have been so distressed by the debate that's going on in Washington. I consider it sordid and debasing as they work over the fine points of a policy that I think is un-American, immoral, and frankly unconstitutional. I feel that the Democrats have underserved the American people in a substantial way by sitting back and allowing John
McCain. As this one, with ramifications so far-reaching, is being rushed through the Congress for purely political reasons.
Well, I accept your correction gratefully. You're right. There hasn't been debate. There have been negotiations between the White House and Republicans.
Behind the scenes, and then there was this so-called compromise, and additional really horrible provisions were added over the weekend. It's really, really scary. It's an outrage, and I agree with you. I don't think we should expect any more from the Republicans, since they've given us consistently very repressive repressive legislation that they've pushed through. But the Democrats have been complicit, and the Democrats are, you know, they're making some meek statements, but really the, you know, Arlen Specter's making stronger statements than the Democrats, and his aren't even very strong. And it's all geared toward this election that's coming up in November.
Well, and that's what's so tragic, because this policy, if it's enacted, will be with us for a long time to come, unless the Bush-packed Supreme Court sees fit to overturn parts of it or perhaps all of it.
Why would they? If it's a Bush-packed Supreme Court, it seems to me that they would uphold it. Although when you start to do away with habeas corpus, I would think even Bush appointees, and I believe there are only two Democrats on the Supreme Court anyway, but Bush appointees might draw the line there and say, wait a minute, the Constitution says no, that Congress only has the power to suspend habeas corpus when there's a rebellion or an invasion.
And Justice O'Connor wrote the decision about in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld, famously saying the president doesn't have a blank check. The Congress is about to give him a blank check without...
Right. Yeah.
Without any kind of judicial review because of the lack of a habeas corpus component.
Yeah, it's really true. It's just astounding if you really look at what this very detailed legal language says, and it's not clear to me what the worst part of it is, although I think that the stripping of habeas corpus is probably the worst. And, you know, the ironic thing is that this is not going to hurt the big fish like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the other 13 terrorists, alleged terrorists that Bush that the CIA has done torturing at their secret prisons, and they're bringing them to Guantanamo for trial. They would go to trial in these military commissions. The stripping of habeas corpus would apply to the hundreds of men who have been languishing at Guantanamo and who knows where else in the world for years and years and years, and it will mean that they will never, ever, ever have a court look at their case and say whether or not they're being held lawfully, and that's very, very disturbing.
Let's take a couple of the issues one by one. First of all, the definition of an unlawful enemy combatant is so broad, it essentially falls to the whim of the president, this one or a future one, to determine who is an unlawful enemy combatant who can then be held without being charged, without being tried, on an indefinite basis.
Well, unlawful enemy combatant could be anyone, not just who has engaged in any hostilities against the United States, but anybody who has given material support. It could be, you know, you make a donation to a charity and it turns out that the president thinks it's linked to a terrorist organization twice removed, and you are all of a sudden an unlawful enemy combatant. This definition is not limited to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. It's not limited to aliens. It covers U.S. citizens. It's not limited to people who are captured or detained overseas. It's not even limited to the conflict against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. In fact, it's not even limited to a time of war. It could apply in peacetime, and it basically could cover anybody that Rumsfeld thinks he wants to detain. Do we trust him to do that? Do we trust him to do that?
Well, and Marjorie Cohn, I thought I had survived the dark ages in the United States, COINTELPRO followed by the Nixon administration. We had an active FBI counterintelligence program that was committing crimes as it purported to be, fighting crime in this country. And we thought we cleaned that up in the 1970s. And now the pendulum has swung back. And we have so many Americans who are either passively accepting this or embracing the idea that they will be safer if we can just torture a few people who, you know, they imagine are not one of us.
Well, you know, even if torture was not patently illegal, and it is, torture is never allowed, even in times of war. And that's very clear in not just in the torture treaty that we've signed and ratified and is part of the law of our land under the Supremacy Clause, but there's a basic principle called jus cogens, which means that torture is never allowed no matter what, whether you've signed a treaty or not. But let's assume that torture was not illegal. Torture doesn't work. If you torture someone, they're going to tell you anything you want to hear to make the torture stop. And in fact, Libby, who was tortured, is the one who gave the information that provided the centerpiece for Colin Powell's now thoroughly disclaimed presentation to the Security Council that led to the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. That's a man named Al Libby, by the way.
Al Libby, right.
Not Libby, the Scooter Libby of Dick Cheney's office.
No, it's Al Libby.
Right.
So, I mean, and the experts agree that torture does not work. Not only is it illegal, not only doesn't it work, but it demeans us as a people that we are going to resort to torture, and it also endangers our soldiers when they get captured because other countries are going to say, wait a minute, the United States tortures, why can't we torture? And it's the same with all of these things that are being really decimated, all of these rights that are being decimated in this new piece of legislation that's being rushed through for political reasons.
You're right about that, too. The rush job is something that we really need to get people to take another look at, because this does not have to be completed by this week. I heard Senator Frist earlier today saying, well, you know, if we don't complete this work, we won't be able to try these detainees. Well, they haven't been bothered by that for 4 years now. They've allowed these people to sit there uncharged, untried, out of contact with lawyers or their family members, simply held incommunicado. So I don't think that a few more months in order to get this right and avoid taking America down a very dark road is too much to ask.
It's true, you know, and you have Republicans like the House Majority Leader John Boehner from Ohio, basically daring the Democrats to vote against the legislation and threatening that they'll be soft on terrorism, that they won't be giving Bush the tools he needs to fight terrorism. You know, cutting off all of these rights is not going to make us any safer. And the Bush administration, you know, everything they have done is geared toward making the Democrats look weak on this anti-terrorism, and everything the Bush administration does, you know, making the terror, raising the terror alert level, prematurely forcing the British government to arrest those people involved in that so-called plot when they didn't even have passports. They weren't even close to doing anything.
The liquid lockdown was entirely unnecessary.
Right. And the day that that Spector was going to be holding hearings, I think it was Monday, he was going to hold hearings. He did, actually, but we never saw them on television, hearings on the habeas corpus stripping, was the day that they decided, just coincidentally, to announce that, in fact, bringing the Department of Homeland Security people out and saying, well, now you can take certain liquids on the plane, and, of course, you know, that the cable shows and the networks go over and over and over with that. But, you know, I think the most important thing for people to do is to try to look critically at what's coming out of our government and what the media is mouthing in response to what's coming out of our government, and really think critically and not just accept it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, and I encourage people to call Washington and encourage a filibuster in the Senate. They are able to do it. They've got enough votes that they could lock this out and hold it up through the end of the week and at least ice it until after the election.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's take a call. Marjorie Cohn is with us, and Dave joins us from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Marjorie, I think there's a logic to this that is finally clicking with me, and it's so simple. The Bush people want torture not to get accurate information. They want to get people to give them the information that they want. They're going to be torturing prisoners to say, tell us that Iran needs to be invaded, in so many words. And that's what they want to hear, and they don't want to hear the truth. Torture will produce for them the results that they want.
Interesting comment, Dave. Marjorie?
I think that's absolutely true, and I think Iran is next. I think he'll wait until after the November election, but he's following exactly the same pattern. I think we've talked about this before, that he followed with Iraq. And by the way, I'm going to explain all of this in my new book when it comes out in the spring. It's called Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law.
Wow, I can't wait to see you in long form. That's going to be a joy to read. Now, Marjorie, the only minor distinction I'd make is that our sources, including two reporters who will be on with us later today, say that the military is positioned and, if given such an order, could launch missile and air attacks against Iran before the election. And the Dave Lindorf, who also co-authored the book about impeachment from the Center for Constitutional Rights, he has gotten signals that they're really moving people into place now, and Bush seems prepared to go forward without an authorization from Congress, based on the strained, or rather tortured, reading of the authorization for force after 9/11 and a very broad power grab under the commander-in-chief part of the Constitution.
You know, I had been saying that I thought it was going to happen before the election, and I know that they've been in place. They've already actually started what the operations against Iran. But I thought, well, are they going to really want to take that risk that it might blow up in their face before the elections? Mm-hmm. But, you know, they take so many other risks, and they're so, you know, they're so haughty that maybe, I mean, I think it's horrendous if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
If they really are planning to go into Iran before the election.
And this is another case where the Democrats need to stand up and say the president does not have authorization to do that.
Right.
Marjorie, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for your contribution today.
Thank you, Peter.
Pleasure talking with you. Marjorie Cohn from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Are you expecting a new baby? It can be confusing to sort out what you need and how to get your home and life ready. I'm Nurse Rona. Join us Sunday for suggestions on how to prepare physically and emotionally for your baby's first few months.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 540 AM will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 PM. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 540 AM. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 540 AM.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Our lines are open if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Coming up next hour, Joanne Mariner from Human Rights Watch will join us to continue our conversation about this awful legislation in Washington right now that essentially is going to legalize torture and offer amnesty to the individuals who might be indicted for war crimes because of the torture policies we pursued since 9/11. I think it's unconscionable, and we'll share that conversation with you coming up next hour. Also on the program today, reporters Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com and Dave Lindorf, who writes for The Nation and other publications. They'll be joining us about an hour from now, and they're going to give us the latest information on the prospect of military action against Iran. And as you know, we've been paying very close attention to this, and I find it very troubling. Lindorf, in particular, has focused on the issue of whether or not the president has authority to launch such a military action. And Larissa has been working on the issues related to military preparedness for the events that we see on the horizon. So it's something that we're paying close attention to and will continue to cover. In a moment, Max Blumenthal, who writes for The Nation, is going to join us. He's got some interesting information on a newsroom battle underway at the Washington Times. And while we wait for Max to call, we're joined by Kathy from Carmel Valley. Hello, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, considering.
Well, I know what you mean. I just called because I have a comment while I was listening to Dave making that excellent point about the information you get when you're tortured is not necessarily valid. It's just you tell people what they want to hear so they'll stop hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me, we were just reading Bush on the Couch. Have you read that book?
Yes, Dr. Tom... What is the doctor's name? I've interviewed him twice.
What is the doctor's name?
He's a psychiatrist from Washington.
Can't remember. Sorry about that. But anyway, it seems like Bush has an instant power gratification. You know, he must...
Oh, we lost Kathy there. Sorry about that, Kathy. You can call us back, Kathy, and we'll talk with you about Bush's need for instant gratification. I understand your point there. Liz, is that Max? Okay, we'll just clear that line then, because Max will call back in a moment. Hit the drop button there. Liz is sitting in for Matt Renner today, who is under the weather, and poor Liz has never worked our phone system before, so I think that's what happened to Kathy. And if she's back on the line, we'll talk to her in just a second. And we expect, as I mentioned, Max Blumenthal. We talked to him about 3 minutes ago, and he was huffing and puffing, trying to get to his office so he could call us to conduct the interview. So... that's where we are right now here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Liz, is this Kathy back?
No, this is Jake and Eureka.
Oh, this is Jake and Eureka. All right. Hey, Jake, welcome.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
We're doing fine today. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you about this issue of the Republican Party's support for torture and the destruction of our Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how we can be pushing a so-called freedom agenda, which our president likes to tout, when we're out there taking away the rights of not only our own citizens, but the rights of other citizens from other countries. This is part of the reason why the world is so upset, because they don't think that Bush deserves to be the great world dictator. And by his own actions, he clearly has proven himself incapable of being president of the United States, let alone president of the world. And, you know, if we're not going to live up to the Geneva Conventions, which we helped draw up in the first place, if we're not going to live up to our basic constitutional rights, and, you know, what good is what Bush is doing anyways? I mean, he says he's doing it for freedom. He says he's doing it to protect us. But everything he does seems to be making us less safe.
Hey, Jake, let's just cut right through all the crap. He's doing it to save his own ass. He's doing it to try to save the Republican majorities in Congress. And he is shameless. He is willing to do anything, to tell us anything, to scare every American if he possibly can. He'll do anything to hold on to power and to preserve the Republican majorities. And that's what we're seeing. This is desperation politics, and what I'm afraid of is that the Democrats are cowed by it and are going to permit it to occur.
Yeah, the only way it could possibly be successful is if the Democrats refuse to stand up to Bush. All they have to do is stand up to Bush, point out his obvious lies, his obvious failures, and this entire strategy that I'm sure Karl Rove has come up with to scare the hell out of the public into voting for the Republicans again. It will not work this time. People have woken up to what Iraq is really about. Iraq is about making George Bush and Dick Cheney a whole lot of money at our expense and at the expense of 2,700 American soldiers' lives. It's time for the Democratic Party to stand up for us. Otherwise, you know, I mean, people won't even show up to vote, Peter, unless the Democrats give them a reason.
Yeah. Well, and this, you know, what I'm afraid of, Jake, is that right now the Democrats are looking at the polls and they've been seduced by them. And they think that if they simply stand there and let the Republicans pee on one another, that the Republicans will self-destruct and the Democrats will sneak into control of one or both houses in November. And I'm sorry. Number one, I don't think that strategy will be effective. And number two, that's not the way it ought to be done. The Democrats ought to say, here's what we believe in. We don't believe in torture. torture. We don't believe in nuanced policies that permit torture. We don't believe in blank checks for presidential power. And we're willing to lose on those issues, but we want the American people to know where we stand. And if they did that, they'd have a resounding victory. They'd take both houses, and then they'd have what we call a mandate. And instead, they want to kind of just sneak in there and hope to take power almost by default.
Right. And if they go in there, it's like you say, sneaking in without giving people a reason to have voted for them in the first place, there's going to be no Democratic agenda that's going to be advanced in the first place. They have to come out strong now. Draw the lines, the differences between us and the Republicans.
This is more important than the November election. This is something that is going to define our nation for decades to come. And if the Democrats simply get out of the way and accept a bill without habeas corpus, a bill with this huge broad definition of an enemy combatant that permits the president to do whatever he wants, then we will pay a price down the road. And it's really bugging me, Jake. Thanks a lot for your call today.
Thank you.
All right, Max Blumenthal joins us now, and hopefully he's caught his breath. Hello, Max. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing?
Doing well today. Max writes for The Nation. He is a Nation Institute Puffin Foundation writing fellow. I talked to you during the break a couple of minutes. It sounded like you were jogging to your office there.
Yeah. I'm actually in Denver now helping Media Matters out with their new Colorado office.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everyone in Colorado. You know, even if you're in San Francisco, you should check out the Colorado website because we have some great items about James Dobson right now, who is basically puppeteering the Republican Party. So the website is www.colorado.mediamatters.org.
All right. Well, I will check that out. We do a regular Monday segment with either Jameson Fozer or Paul Waldman from Media Matters.
Right.
And I'm trying to remember who it was who demonized Media Matters because they opened a Colorado office, and it suggested that this is now part of some national conspiracy to...
Oh, it's David Horowitz.
It was Horowitz, yeah.
Everything's a conspiracy to him.
Right, yeah. Okay, so colorado.mediamatters.org.
Yeah.
Great. And we invited you on the program today because of a piece that was published at thenation.com a couple of days ago, and it'll appear in the hard copy of the magazine due out next week.
Right.
And it's about what I call the Mooney Paper. And, Max, I have been following Reverend Sung Myung Moon since the 1970s when I moved to California and saw just how heavily entrenched he was. They were recruiting people off the streets, selling flowers. They had a camp up in Boonville, which is in Mendocino County, and they'd pick people off the streets in the hate in San Francisco and hustle them up there where they would essentially brainwash them into joining the Unification Church. And Moon kind of tried to go legit after his conviction and incarceration for tax fraud, and one of the things he did was buy the Washington Times newspaper. And it has been used as a right-wing echo chamber and also part of the noise machine that David Brock defined in his book to advance Republican ideas and talking points and essentially stake out the right flank of the far right in this country.
Right. And I think there's a misperception that Sun Young Moon and the Moonies, the Unification Church, have exercised editorial control over the paper. In fact, what I discovered through my investigation, which entailed talking to a dozen former and current Times staffers about the situation in the newsroom and the succession battle at the Times, is that the editor-in-chief and his number two, who is his hand-picked successor, that's Wesley Pruden and Fran Coombs, who are both old, you know, Dixieland conservatives, have really taken this paper further to the right than Moon even intended it to go. These guys are, in particular, Fran Coombs, are hardcore white nationalist, neo-Confederate types, and they have had an enormous influence on the Republican Party's adoption of the anti-immigrant agenda as part of their midterm strategy. For instance, Fran Coombs splashed a favorable review of Pat Buchanan's new eugenicist-type book on the Third World Invasion of America on the front page of the Washington Times. No paper would have any book review on the front page, but Fran Coombs felt compelled to do this. And people in the newsroom, as conservative as they are, and all of my sources were, you know, rock rib conservatives, are disgusted by this. They're also disgusted by the sexism inside the newsroom. Fran Coombs has been accused of, and this is symptomatic of a pattern, but one of the things I wrote about was he is accused of sexually harassing a former employee, convincing the Times to whitewash an investigation of the sexual harassment. What wound up happening was that the woman who accused him of sexual harassment, Melissa Hopkins, went to Human Resources at the Times and said, you know, this is what happened to me. He's intimidating me. You know, he's insulting me. He's directed other people not to work with me because I rejected his advances. And Human Resources said, we're not going to deal with this. The director of Human Resources, Randall Cassidy, said, we're not going to deal with this. You have to get a lawyer and file a criminal complaint if you want to do anything. A year later, she was fired. And yesterday, we learned that Randall Cassidy, the head of Human Resources at the Times, was indicted for soliciting sex with a child online.
Whoa.
This is the kind of atmosphere that's happened on Fran Coombs and Wes Pruden's watch. Wes Pruden, by the way, is the son of the former chaplain of the White Citizens Council in Arkansas that tried to prevent the integration of Little Rock High. And Wes Pruden is basically an absentee landlord at this point. He likes to hang out on the cocktail circuit in Washington, and he lets Fran Coombs take this paper over. And he is, and since my story's come out, Fran Coombs has increased his terrorizing of Times employees. Meanwhile, another guy I wrote about, Robert Stacy McCain, who's a member of a hate group called the League of the South and is the assistant national editor of the Washington Times, a close friend of Fran Coombs,
mm-hmm.
And was actually recently suspended simply for being lazy, not for his racism, even though I've been told by sources, and I reported this, that he routinely defended slavery in the newsroom.
Let me just expand on that from your piece here. McCain defended slavery as good for the blacks and good for property owners.
Right. And you know, if, I don't have my piece in front of me, but if you don't mind, there are some quotes by Fran Coombs that make George Allen look like Martin Luther King. And George Allen has done the same thing. Fran Coombs has done the same thing George Allen's done. He's denied everything and tried to personally attack my sources, which is what the right-wing bloggers are all doing to Larry Sabato, who accused George Allen of using the N-word. Basically, Fran Coombs has said at parties with Times staffers that he is glad that he wasn't born black because he would have started off life with 15 less IQ points. He says mm-hmm. he favors abortion because it diminishes the black population in the United States.
Well, let me cite some of your quotes here. In an interview, Coombs spoke proudly of his influence on the immigration debate. Every article used to be about how the government abuses immigrants. Not one showed the negative impact of immigration. I don't want to suggest we led the way, but we were one of the first to discuss immigration, not from some feel-good perspective. Countering the feel-good perspective on race appears to be Coombs' passion. George Archibald told me that when he showed Coombs a photo of his nephew's African-American girlfriend, Coombs went off like a rocket about interracial marriage and how terrible it was. He actually used the phrase, anification of America. He said, not in my lifetime. If my daughter went out with a black, I would cut her throat.
Well, Fran Coombs has attempted to destroy George Archibald's reputation instead of responding to the charges in the piece, and they've claimed that my whole piece is based on accounts by George Archibald, who was a former Times reporter for 23 years and was nominated for 4 Pulitzer Prizes. But I had 12 sources. An African-American former staffer named Marlene Johnson told me that Fran Coombs was a vitriolic racist who essentially ended her career. They actually replaced her with Danny Wattenberg, who is the son of Ben Wattenberg, the neocon pundit.
Oh, yeah.
And paid him twice as much as her. The horror stories I heard from inside the Times are incredible.
Let me stop for a second. We got to take a break. We'll return with Max Blumenthal. We're talking about some internal struggles at Reverend Moon's Washington Times newspaper. And we'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
We
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
This government, particularly this Republican government, has run amok in giving away money to people like the oil industry and Halliburton and whatnot.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
That in no way is benefiting the majority of people, no way is contributing to infrastructure or democracy in the United States, and is purely enriching a small number of people. And things are going nuts.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon, on KRXA 540.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're talking about the Washington Times, the conservative newspaper owned by Sung Myung Moon. And it's kind of a gangster's paradise for white racists.
Take a look at my life and realize it's not enough. Because I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking. Or you and your homies might be lying to chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
We continue with Max Blumenthal, a reporter who writes for The Nation, also works with Media Matters. He's in Colorado at the new Media Matters operation there. And, Max, let's try to put this in perspective. The Washington Times is a minor newspaper in this country. Its circulation is only about 100,000, and its competitor, The Post, is 900,000 or a million a week?
And Coolio wouldn't be welcome there. it's true. I think it's not correct to call it a minor newspaper, although it's been sort of discredited over the years by, within the mainstream press. They still break a lot of stories, and they have an enormous influence on the right wing of the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
Especially with respect to issues like immigration. I mean, they really created this immigration issue. They were reporting, hysterical reporting from the border since 1989. A lot of their stories are actually, and using and using terms like invasion in their stories that just are beyond the pale of the mainstream press. I mean, whatever you think of immigration, the Washington Times is really reflects the far right and has for decades.
But it has disproportionate influence because
they broke Whitewater. That's another story they broke. They have special access to the White House. They're close to the Bush administration. And, you know, Bush gave a special tour to Fran Coombs and a number of Times staffers in 2001. I mean, Condi Rice drops by the office for interviews.
Did any of Jeff Gannon's work show up in the Times?
Well, I mean, Jeff Gannon is sort of emblematic of the, you know, the style of the Times. But the Times is much more insidious than Jeff Gannon because it parades as a mainstream newspaper.
Right.
And, you know, it has 100,000 subscribers, but it still has an impact. And so I just think, you know, a lot of, you know, the liberal bloggers even have kind of poo-pooed my story and said...
No, my point is that its impact is disproportionate to its market position. And that because it is the source of talking points, you know, kind of the Weekly Standard does the weekly setup, and then the daily updates come from the Washington Times. And
right.
Here's a case in point. I haven't listened to Gordon Liddy's radio program in a couple of years, but he used to start his show every day by delivering the news, and his primary source was the Washington Times.
Right.
And so he was mirroring the message points that were coming out of the Republican National Committee via the editorial room at the Times and with a weekly boost from Rupert Murdoch's Weekly Standard.
Well, it's the dynamic at the Times is interesting. Tony Blankley controls the editorial page, and he's basically a shill for the RNC. He's sort of a corporatist Republican. He's not well-liked at the Times. That was something I wasn't able to report.
And by the way, Al Franken ripped him up on Hardball last night. It was fun to see.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
And the news content is all controlled by Fran Coombs, this, you know, vituperous racist. And it's just interesting to note that someone who, you know, runs around using the N-word and advocates a eugenicist abortion policy is behind, is influencing the abortion debate and the debate on civil rights in this way. And another interesting component of my story that we haven't talked about yet is what's going on at the top. Inside the Unification Church.
Yeah, young Preston Moon. Who's he?
Well, Preston Moon is the third son of Sun Young Moon, and he, you know, they give themselves these Americana names. His real name is Hyun Jin, and he is a Harvard MBA. He's sort of a, you know, as far as the Unification Church goes, he's a cosmopolitan guy, even though he's a complete weirdo like the rest of them. He doesn't like the racism at the Times, and he especially doesn't like the... you know, the hawkishness, because what the Moonies want is to embrace the UN, and they want a stronger peace process between North Korea and South Korea because they have business investments in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So they would like to get in someone who is more of a multilateralist. And so two candidates that Preston Moon is advancing, because he is one of the owners of the Times at News World Communications, is John O'Sullivan, the British conservative, who's a former advisor to Margaret Thatcher, and... Martin Walker, who used to write for the Liberal Guardian in England, and is sort of a proponent of the new labor policies of Tony Blair, that's really interesting. I mean, if these guys take over, one of the this key right wing bulletin board would essentially not exist anymore in the form it does. I think they would keep the family value stuff that they've been doing for a long time, because the church likes that, but they would get rid of the hawkish stuff, and they would, you know, the unilateral stuff, and they'd get rid of this anti-immigrant, xenophobia, semi-Nazi tone of the news section.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see. Now, just a sidebar question, Preston Moon, did he get to pick his own wife?
Probably not. And you know who else didn't get to pick their own husband is one of the founders of the Washington Times, Josette Shiner, who is now Assistant Secretary for Trade in the Bush administration.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
She was married in a mass wedding.
She
seems to have left the church. But, the Times is not really, what you see when you pick it up on the newsstand does not reflect what the Moonies want.
Well, thanks for pulling back the curtain, Max. I really appreciate your work.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to talk with you. And stay in touch. When you have another story, bring it our way.
Yeah, for sure.
Max Blumenthal writes for The Nation. You can read this story at thenation.com or in the hard copy of the magazine coming out next week. Next, Joanne Mariner joins us from Human Rights Watch as we talk about the sordid debate, not actually debate, negotiations over detainees, torture, and habeas corpus. And Iran next hour.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com. Stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hostage standoff at a Colorado high school is over.
I'm really glad my daughter's home.
And a deal on how to treat terror suspects.
When we degrade and mistreat our prisoners, we degrade ourselves.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. It was a standoff that, for many parents, brought back the nightmare of Columbine.
Still somewhat shocked that this could happen in a rural county.
Park County Sheriff Fred Wegener.
We had an armed gunman that entered into Platte Canyon High School, went into one of the classrooms, and took several kids hostage.
At one point, the gunman held 6 students. He released 4 of them, and then police moved in.
Entry was made. The suspect shot one of the hostages and then shot himself.
The gunman is dead. The student is believed to be in critical condition. Other students were shaken by the ordeal.
I didn't think it would happen in Bailey. It's a tiny place. It's supposed to be safe, and I can't believe it.
Officials say they don't know what motivated the gunman. Now this.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
A few details to iron out, and a bill outlining how to treat suspected terrorists is all but assured passage, just in time for the midterm elections. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss is on Capitol Hill.
The House passed the bill setting the rules for capturing, questioning, and trying suspected terrorists by military tribunals. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham helped negotiate the final language.
It should be a standard that every American is proud of, because I am proud of it.
But New York Democrat Louise Slaughter says the bill is un-American, excusing torture and giving unprecedented power to the military to lock people up forever without access to civilian courts.
When the going gets tough, America's leaders are willing to abandon our values.
The Senate is expected to pass this bill tomorrow, and then it will become law. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush sits down within the hour with the presidents of Afghanistan and Pakistan to talk about capturing the world's most wanted terrorist, Osama bin Laden. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports the two countries are key allies, but often at odds over how to wage the war on terror.
The five-year search for the al-Qaeda leader is bound to be a key issue at the three-way summit. It's also a source of friction. Afghan President Karzai has suggested that Pakistan's Musharraf is not doing enough to find bin Laden. While many intelligence experts believe the Musharraf regime has an idea where bin Laden is hiding, the Pakistani leader insists that's not the case. President Bush says both Karzai and Musharraf want bin Laden captured.
A new poll of Iraqis finds nearly 6 in 10 approve of attacks on U.S. forces, and almost 4 in 5 say U.S. military force in Iraq provokes more violence than it prevents. American troops killed 8 people today in a raid on a suspected terrorist house. 4 of the victims were women. One Sunni cleric in Iraq has condemned the attack as a terrorist massacre. A huge wildfire north of Los Angeles has pushed very close to some homes and ranches in Ventura County. As Terry Okita reports, erratic winds aren't helping firefighters, but they are using bulldozers and aircraft.
There are 4,000 firefighters now on the lines trying to battle this blaze. It really seems to have a mind of its own. 42% containment at this point after 3 long weeks, and almost 150,000 acres have burned.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed the nation's first law that imposes a cap on greenhouse gas emissions.
We simply must do everything that we can in our power to slow down global warming before it is too late.
Schwarzenegger said today it begins a bold new era of environmental protection. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls into Hour 2. Coming up later this hour, two journalists join us, David Lindorf and Larissa Alexandrovna, to update us on the Bush administration's intentions toward Iran. Those intentions involve ship movements and potential rocket launches.
Guess who just got back today? That wild-eyed boy that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
The boys are back in Washington, D.C. And they're working on the finer points of our torture, detention, and trial prospects, the policies and programs for what they call unlawful enemy combatants. And you know what? The way it's defined, you could be an unlawful enemy combatant. All we need is for the president to say so. And joining us this half hour to talk about it is the Director for Terrorism and Counterterrorism at Human Rights Watch, Joanne Mariner. Joanne, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Last hour, we talked with a professor of constitutional law, Marjorie Cohn, on our program, and we approached this from some of the legal issues that are present. And I wanted to ask you to offer our listeners some insight into your views based on working with detainees and working on behalf of the human rights of these individuals, what the real practical impact will be if the Democrats do not really stand up and force either a compromise or a stall to this legislation. If the bill goes through in its current form, what do you see as the repercussions and what will be possible under this new legislation?
The most immediate and obvious repercussions are that more than 200 pending cases will be ejected from the courts. And these are all the cases that we've seen brought by Guantanamo detainees challenging arbitrary detention, challenging physical abuses, challenging the possibility of their return to countries where they might be tortured. Even the Hamden case, which was the case that resulted in the Supreme Court's landmark decision in June, that case would also be pushed out of the courts because one of them, and it's difficult to actually to pick what is the worst provision in this 96-page legislation.
Understood, yeah.
Arguably the worst provision is that which strips these detainees, and in fact detainees held anywhere outside of the United States who've been deemed enemy combatants, it strips them of a right of access to the courts. It bars them from filing habeas corpus claims, which, you know, as we all know, it's kind of the foundation of human rights protection. It allows someone to go to a judge and say, I am being abused, I am being tortured, I am being arbitrarily detained.
And I think that that is signal, and it is astounding to me that only Arlen Specter, and you know, Senator Levin has spoken about these issues, but the real fight in Washington about habeas corpus being included in this bill or the attempts to strip it from the rights of these individuals, Arlen Specter is the clearest, strongest voice on this issue.
Arlen Specter's been very good. He arranged for hearings to be held on Monday. There's also a few Democrats that have put together an amendment. I mean, right now, let me just give you a quick update on the status of the bill. The House has passed it.
Right.
So it is through the House. Now it's only the Senate, and they passed some procedural motions that mean that there's not going to be a filibuster, and there are, I believe it's five pending amendments to be voted on.
Now let me stop you for a second there, because I think a filibuster is something that is well warranted here, and the Democrats should be scheming and planning to do so. Have they already caved and given up that weapon?
What I understand, they've already caved, because the procedural motion now limits the possibilities, is a vote on the bill itself and a vote on the amendments. So obviously the best that could happen would be that the Senate would vote it down, would vote against it. And there you'd need, obviously, a few Republicans to jump in and also oppose the administration. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of electioneering going on here. And people don't want to be seen as soft on terrorism, Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
The other really important thing, it would not save this. This would still be an extremely dangerous and damaging bill. But if senators voted for the Leahy Amendment allowing habeas, that would certainly be an important improvement. It would leave those cases in the courts. Because without that habeas possibility, there's really very few ways for detainees to...
In other words, are there other ways to bring cases to a court besides habeas corpus, or are we going to toss away the single viable channel for individuals to press their rights?
It isn't the only. There are, I'll tell you, there's the Detainee Treatment Act, which passed last December. That was the law that was pushed forward by Senator McCain that was to bar abusive treatment of detainees. That law also contained narrower jurisdiction-stripping provisions, and it limited habeas claims to, it barred habeas claims for new cases, and it limited detainees' right to the court to appeals from the military commission rulings and the what are called CSRTs, the Combatant Status Review Tribunal rulings.
Mm-hmm.
But within those kinds of proceedings, you don't have the right to just to complain of physical abuse. So, in fact, that bill was this very weird compromise in which you had McCain, who is pushing for barriers against physical abuse, but you also had this bill that was Graham pushed that barred detainees from going to court to complain against physical abuse.
Right.
But anyway, that you still have the possibility of getting to court now if you've been tried by a military commission.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that, you know, creates kind of a strange dynamic in which, you know, we only expect perhaps a handful, perhaps up to, say, 70 of the detainees to be tried before military commissions.
Mm-hmm.
But others could be held there, abused there, without ever getting access to a court.
Joanne Mariner with us. She is the Program Director for Terrorism and Counterterrorism at Human Rights Watch. Their website is hrw.org if you'd like to drop by and take a look. Joanne, is the current package still detached from the Geneva Conventions and Common Article 3?
It has narrowed the protections in a couple of ways. First of all, under U.S. law, there's a law called the War Crimes Act. That law previously just criminalized violations of the Geneva Conventions, including violations of Common Article 3. And Common Article 3 is the provision of the Geneva Conventions that the Supreme Court held protects detainees on Guantanamo. It protects people, members of Al-Qaeda or alleged members of Al-Qaeda, who've been picked up by the United States. So that provision is very relevant now to the situation of detainees on Guantanamo and elsewhere, and in Afghanistan and in Iraq. This legislation, this current pending bill, narrows that, and instead of just saying that violations of Common Article 3 are criminal acts, it selects out some of the most serious violations of Common Article 3, i.e. murder, rape, torture, criminalizes them, but other violations are no longer criminal. Also importantly, the bill delegates to the president the authority to interpret the meaning and application of the Geneva Conventions. And we all know that the president's interpretation of the Geneva Conventions has been unjustifiably narrow, ridiculously narrow.
Indeed. And also, as I understand it, the bill is retroactive to September 11th, and it includes an amnesty provision, essentially. We don't use that terminology, but we know how up in arms the Republicans got about the alleged amnesty in immigration bills. And this is a very broad amnesty for anyone who might be accused of a war crime from September 11th forward.
Absolutely. In fact, it's retroactive back to 1997.
Oh, really?
And
well, why did we pick that date?
Well, they picked that date because that's the date that the War Crimes Act was amended to be broader.
I see.
So they cut back to then. Also, you know, the administration has not claimed, I mean, it claims we're in a war against Al-Qaeda. It doesn't claim that that war started on September 11th. It actually claims that that war started sooner. So among the detainees on Guantanamo now are people who are allegedly involved in 1998 attacks, and other pre-September 11th terrorist acts.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's, you know, giving the CIA, because basically it's clear, everybody knows this is a provision specifically meant to protect CIA operatives, because after the Hamden case was decided, they were suddenly very afraid of the possibility of being prosecuted for war crimes, because under the Supreme Court's decision, the detainees whom they had clearly been abusing badly, you know, torturing physically, were protected by Common Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions.
Mm-hmm. Joanne, we're going to take a break and return. We're talking with Joanne Mariner at Human Rights Watch. They're on the web, Human Rights Watch, HRW.org. And if you have a question or comment about the current negotiations that will lead to limited debate, and it appears the Democrats have already given up the only card they had to filibuster this bill, I'd like to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. Right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
And good afternoon, Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540 in and out of our Monterey Bay area. In Salinas, Salisal Road and Zavala Road, an accident. Two cars involved in this. Some injuries are reported, and tow trucks have been dispatched to the scene. In Monterey, northbound Highway 1 before Camino Aguajito, a dump truck apparently spilled a load in some of the lanes, a load of gravel specifically, so do drive with caution there. In Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 at Emmeline Avenue, construction work has the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp shut down. And that word brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today and on approved credit, you'll make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices every day. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Joanne Mariner at Human Rights Watch, where she is director of the Terrorism Counterterrorism Program. And we're talking about the sordid process underway this week in Washington. It's all a sideshow for political reasons for this November's midterm elections, as the Republicans are trying to show just how tough on terrorism they are. And many people believe this is an effort to distract us from the failures of the war in Iraq, which, of course, have been highlighted by the declassification of the National Intelligence Estimate. And it all adds up to a real awful situation where the standards of the United States are being lowered by this administration. And to do so for partisan political gain in a midterm election offends me even more. Because if the administration wanted to be honest about it and put it forward, they wouldn't be talking about, oh, we need clarity. We need to make sure that our professionals, you know where the bright red line is and not to cross it. This is clearly an effort to broaden American practices to include all kinds of things that we have considered un-American, that we considered part of Stalin or Lenin's programs in the old Soviet Union. And it really is sad for me to see this going on and to see the opposition party providing very little opposition. Joanne, one of the aspects of this legislation is the use of various kinds of testimony in the tribunals that they're saying will follow the enactment of this kind of legislation. And they want to be able to use evidence that is not shared with the defendant. They want to be able to use evidence that was gleaned from torture or other types of illegal interrogation tactics. And basically, they want to set up kangaroo courts. And why is it that the Republicans are so hell-bent on this and cannot see the perception that will be created that, you know, we are not a nation of laws, we are not a nation of liberty, and that we are really responding to terrorism by adopting their tactics?
I've already seen in the past years that this administration pays very little attention to international public opinion or to international criticism, even criticism from its closest allies, because you've seen the Attorney General of the UK on many occasions specifically criticizing Guantanamo as an affront to the rule of law. You've seen Chancellor Merkel, who's a close U.S. ally, being very critical of Guantanamo. Certainly international opinion right now on this bill is they look at it as allowing torture, as facilitating torture. There's been editorials in newspapers around the world. But I think the only constituency that this administration is looking to is the domestic one. They're looking at the elections, and they want to prove themselves as, you know, taking tough measures against terrorists, even if these so-called tough measures, in fact, are ineffective in terms of truly preventing terrorism.
So I want to take a call, but first, can you identify any other leaders, Senator Levin from Michigan, Martin Meehan, a congressman from Massachusetts, Ike Skelton, a Democrat in the House from Missouri, spoke up today. Are there any other champions of the human rights side of this, and in particular the habeas corpus aspect?
Yes, Leahy has, I think, sponsored the amendment that's going to be voted on tomorrow to restore habeas corpus to this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And Harmon, California, she's a member of the House.
Right.
So now the House has passed it. It's
That's true. She's actually been much more effective recently on this. I was critical of her earlier this year because I felt she was turning a blind eye to the NSA issues. But she's been much stronger on this aspect of it.
Yeah, she called for the bill to be voted down.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, if Leahy's
Democrats who voted against it.
If Leahy's amendment is adopted, that would mean the Senate and House versions would be different. Would that then require more time that would not permit them to conference the bill this week, do you think?
It would go to conference, and then the question is, could the Republicans push it through conference, possibly strip it of, you know, they would have to reconcile the two bills, and a lot of bad things often happen in Congress, in conference. And
yeah, that's true. Their idea of conference is just to do what they want.
Sometimes it can be that. So,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that if just the House version is already passed with the habeas stripping provision included. Winning in the Senate doesn't necessarily mean we win this battle, but it would be a crucially important step.
Understood. Ben in Salinas joins us. Hello, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Let me see if I got this right. Under this new bill, Mr. Bush could declare anybody who happens to live in a blue state as a possible terrorist or terrorist sympathizer. You would therefore be trucked into one of these concentration camps that already exist, which I will be manned by Blackwater mercenaries who have the right to kill you with impunity. They cannot be charged under the laws that govern the
mercenaries. Now, that's where you're going a little too far. They can torture you. But if they kill you or, you know, commit rape or these other serious infractions, then the president has the option of having you prosecuted. Is that right, Joanne?
Peter, in New Orleans, those Blackwater mercenaries that were down there doing duty down there had Uzis, and they had the power to kill you and not be charged for that, sir.
Let me ask Joanne.
Well, the bill doesn't specifically mention blue states, but... the timing of it does raise some concerns.
Well, it doesn't exclude them.
It definitely does allow the Pentagon to basically call anybody an unlawful enemy combatant. There's a provision in the bill that essentially delegates the power to the Pentagon to determine who and who is not an unlawful enemy combatant, which is kind of an amazing expansion.
So this could be done to us with our taxpayer dollars in America today?
Unfortunately, it looks like that's going to that's going to happen.
Ben,
hey,
thanks
America,
for,
wake
thanks,
up and smell the sulfur.
Thanks for your comments. I'm out of time. And I want to thank you, Joanne Mariner, for your work. And thank you, too, for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
We'll talk again. That's Bye. Joanne Mariner at Human Rights Watch. They're on the web at hrw.org. Next, we talk about Iran on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
We just read the report. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. We all now have the National Intelligence Estimate just declassified by the president, so suppose we just read what it says, because it proposes a victory strategy. Quote, the jihadists' greatest vulnerability is that their ultimate political solution, an ultra-conservative interpretation of Sharia-based governance spanning the Muslim world, is unpopular with the vast majority of Muslims. Exposing the religious and political straitjacket that is implied by the jihadist propaganda would help to divide them from the audiences they seek to persuade. The Muslim mainstream emerges as the most powerful weapon in the war on terror, unquote. In other words, yes, we can win, and our main weapon needs to be an all-out, fully mobilized, laser-guided public debate. The president and the other Western leaders have to stand up, admit their mistakes, and then challenge Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri and the other icons of al-Qaeda to publicly describe the kind of governments their movement plans to impose. Let them describe a life where imams make all your decisions, where you're told what schools to attend, what to wear, what to watch, and where not only Islam, but a specific interpretation of Islam must be accepted on pain of death. The intelligence estimate is saying that we've made America the issue, when what we ought to do is make ultra-conservative Islam the issue. One look at the blue jeans in Tehran and you realize that is the war we can win.
Hi, I'm Jeff Daniels to let you know that Michigan is more than a wonderful place to live. It's a great place to build a business. Take TJ Technologies. They're revolutionizing the modern-day battery for NASA, defense, and everyday use. And while competitors moved overseas, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation helped TJ with all the resources they needed to succeed right here in Michigan. And they can do the same for you. Find out how at Michigan.org, because wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, this is Al Moore with more imported cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 98 BMW 740iL in showroom condition. The Kelley Blue Book wholesale is $14,400. The sale price for this week only is $9,990.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. And if you'd like to call the program, we'd love to hear from you. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And joining us for a weekly briefing is the managing editor from RawStory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna. Hey, Larissa, how are you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Not too bad. Nice to have you with us. And today, a special guest, you're joined by Dave Lindorf, a journalist who writes for The Nation and many other publications, and who also is one of the people who co-authored the book with Barbara... Help me out.
Olshansky
from the Center for Constitutional Rights about the impeachment prospect for the current administration. Dave, welcome back to our show today.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me on. Hi, Larissa.
Hi, how are you? I read your article. It's fantastic.
Now,
thank you.
Both of you have been working slightly different angles on the issues related to Iran. And Larissa, of course, has been on our program every week, and most often we talk about Iran. In addition, I think both of you are familiar with the work of Sam Gardner and have been in touch with him. He's a retired Air Force colonel who has given us a lot of valuable information related to the American intentions toward Iran. So first up, let me turn to you, Larissa, and ask you to take a minute or two here to recap the current status, the prospect of ships and troops and others moving into position, and where in a time window a trigger could be given the green light. That's a mixed metaphor, and I apologize.
Well, I don't have as much detail about the ships and their movements and such. I had very limited information regarding a deployment order that was given. I think time and David certainly had more information on that than I did.
Okay.
What I had gotten was that the Joint Chiefs, inexplicably, because it's not usually the Joint Chiefs, have started phase two planning, or what's called branches and sequels. It's a type of contingency planning that happens after an action plan has been decided upon.
Mm-hmm.
And so this suggests that, and it very nicely sort of dovetails with other reports now coming out, that we are quite serious about our activities in Iran and a military strike. Part of that, which is not in my article because I've learned of it since, there's an element to this that's it's really bizarre. It's not just that all of this is kind of happening behind the scenes, away from Congress, if you will, but also it's being organized and orchestrated in an unusual way. Normally, such planning would be going on at CENTCOM or SOCOM. It's actually happening out of STRATCOM, and that's in Omaha,
mm-hmm.
which is very bizarre considering what we're talking about.
Well, so, STRATCOM is Strategic Air Command,
correct,
right?
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been recently told, and this is shortly after I ran this piece, that Dick Cheney has been visiting Omaha a great deal lately.
Oh,
so
really?
If you put all these pieces together, and obviously all the things we've been talking about for the last 6 months, and you add the report by David and by Time, there appears to be a serious movement toward a sooner rather than later military approach to Iran. And my understanding is, although you know I don't have any exact time frame, most people think it's going to be around November,
mm-hmm.
if there's going to be a strike. And I'm told to look for an article by Philip Giraldi in the American Conservative that addresses the time frame much more specifically, and that's supposed to come out soon.
Okay. Now, Dave Lindorf, what would you like to add to that aspect? And then I want to talk about the legal issues of whether the president has authorization to conduct such a strike.
Right. Well, first of all, what I found was that I got information that this Eisenhower carrier strike group was having its deployment moved up by at least a month to get it to the Iran theater by October 21st. And the interesting thing about that, which Gardner pointed out to me, was that the Time magazine article about a prepare to deploy order for crews to be ready to sail this fleet of minesweepers to the same was supposed to be by October 1st, which he said dovetailed nicely with the October 21st arrival date of the Eisenhower, because it takes about flotilla of minesweepers to make it there. So he said that sort of points to October 21st. Subsequent to that, somebody's pointed out to me that October 22nd is a new moon, which is when the U.S. likes to conduct bombing attacks because it's completely dark and
right.
they don't need the light. But
mm-hmm.
it you know, adds to confusion at the target, harder to see what's coming, too.
Yeah, it adds to the stealth and helps you with that shock and awe.
Yeah, and the other thing is that there was an article quoting Gary Hart, who has very connections to the defense establishment, and he's the former senator from Colorado.
Sure.
And
the monkey business.
Yeah,
the monkey business guy.
But he's very well plugged into the intelligence community and
mm-hmm.
the defense community, and he says that it looks like they're planning a war with no ground troops, because obviously they don't have any ground troops, and so it's all bombing all the time, and that, according to him, and I've seen this report elsewhere, that there are special forces troops already in Iraq who are working on developing targets, which he said would be probably around 400, not just the Iranian nuclear sites, but command and control sites and so on. So
and Gardner offers a similar number of strike targets, about 400.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's a serious war. And you know, to go to the legality of it, you know, first of all, it's totally illegal under international law, because there is no earthly way you could come up with even taking everything the administration says at face value that Iran poses an immediate threat to anybody. The nuclear refining that they're doing, if it were to produce a bomb, even the U.S.'s fastest estimates say it would be 4 years, and some are saying 10 to 15 years for
mm-hmm.
them to develop a bomb, if that's what they're doing. So there is no threat posed by Iran. What Bush is doing, and that would make it a crime against peace right there, but what Bush is doing is he's very carefully, I looked at the wording of his talk at the U.N., he says nice things to the Iranian people, and then he says that your leaders are supporting terror around the world. Now, that's a code word.
We love your culture, and we admire your people, and great rugs, too.
Yeah, right. But you see, the use of the word terror is really dangerous, because what Bush claims is that the October 2001 authorization for use of military force, this is the one that was passed right after 9/11,
right.
and was where Congress authorized the attack on Afghanistan and Al-Qaeda. Bush has used that authorization for use of force as a license to make him commander-in-chief in a war on terror, which he says, and his administration says,
mm-hmm.
Is never-ending. And occurs everywhere, in the U.S., outside the U.S., any place in the world, and gives him the authority, according to him and his attorney general, to act on his own authority anywhere in the world, including in the U.S.
And so, I've talked to a number of elected officials, Congress in particular, who say he doesn't have that authority, but we've seen he's willing to trample the Constitution and kind of take his chances. Of course, he's packed the Supreme Court for a little insurance, but it does seem that he really has very little regard for the strictures of presidential power and believes that they are as broad as he says they are.
That claim that he made about being commander-in-chief and having this power to ignore the Constitution and the law and so on is the very argument he has used to justify the signing statements, where he overturns acts passed by Congress,
mm-hmm.
the NSA spying, where he violates a law passed in 1978 by Congress, the removal of habeas corpus rights and right to a lawyer and all of those things that we assume is our birthright from American citizens, the violation of the U.S. Criminal Code and the Geneva Code in taking away the prisoner of war status from captives at Guantanamo and elsewhere, and a myriad other number of crimes he's committed against the Constitution and the law,
mm-hmm.
All are based on this argument that he's the commander-in-chief. And the interesting thing is that he's been found guilty on two counts for doing that very thing. It's been rejected by not only a federal district court in Detroit, which found...
The NSA.
That was where they said, no, that doesn't allow you to break the law or the Fourth Amendment. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court, in the Hamdi v. Rumsfeld case in June, by a vote of 5, which included Justice Kennedy, found that his argument about Commander-in-Chief did not hold water, that mm-hmm. he does have to obey the Constitution and the law, and that he was in violation of U.S. Criminal Code in that decision on POWs.
That's journalist Dave Lindorf here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Also with us is Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Now, Larissa, let me turn to you for a moment here, because I hear what Dave said, and I heard what the president said at the United Nations last week. But he didn't throw down a gauntlet to Iran nearly as explicitly as he did to Iraq in 2002 and 2003. Were you surprised by the kind of subdued tone of his speech?
No, I wasn't. I actually expected it. I don't think, given everything that's going on, and remember, we're already using a terrorist organization in the southern region of Iran to destabilize the country.
That's the MEK. Uh-huh.
Correct. We've already... undertaken several off-book missions into that country. We already put Gurbanifar, the Iran Contra arms dealer, back on the payroll. I think that he doesn't feel he needs to make a lot of noise. I think I really believe, and certainly what I've heard, you know, everything from he believes he's Winston Churchill to he thinks he's talking to God. Whatever the reason, I think the administration believes they don't have to convince us of anything anymore, because they are above the law, and they have proven that, because no one's holding them accountable. And so therefore, much of the rhetoric prior to the Iraq war was to convince the populace. At this point, I don't think they feel they need to.
I see. We are irrelevant.
And the voting machines
kind of add a layer of protection, as they figure even if we go ballistic, over this event, that they can shave the votes and hold on to their majorities.
Well, I think if we haven't gone ballistic since after Katrina, and what we saw is can only be described as criminal negligence. If we didn't go ballistic over the criminal negligence, the failures to prevent 9/11 to begin with, because the entire administration was vacationing, if we didn't go ballistic over the Iraq war after the Downing Street memos, after this latest final, after how many years, delivery of phase two, after any number of things that have gone on, this country seems to have not, as you said, gone ballistic.
Yeah.
I just don't think this country will, and I think this administration knows it. They've in essence, they've won, because they've been able to achieve everything they've wanted to, and no one has held them accountable. And I don't I don't see how an election is going to change that.
I wish I could muster a powerful argument against that, Larissa. But the facts aren't there. We're going to continue in just a moment. That's Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Also with us, Dave Lindorf. And you can read his most recent piece posted today at truthout.org. Got a question or comment? You can call us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
These United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Once again, good afternoon. Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540 in and out of our Monterey Peninsula. We're going to take you down first to a road closure on northbound Highway 1. This is the Emmeline Avenue road closure, which has long-term detours in place. An accident in Salinas at Talasal Road and Zabala Road. Two cars involved in this. Minor injuries reported, but tow trucks have been dispatched. And in Watsonville, we have some nighttime road work on Highway 1 between Highway 129 and Freedom Boulevard. One lane shutdown in both directions from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. And that word is brought to you by McDonald's. Here's something to crow about. McDonald's is making breakfast starting at 5 a.m. or earlier. So now it's even easier to start your day with a hot and tasty breakfast at participating McDonald's. Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540.
Somebody please sound the alarm. There's a crazy guy in the White House who wants to launch another war against a more powerful nation than Iraq ever was. And the repercussions could be unimaginable.
Wake up, everybody! Wake up!
That's my man, Kev Moe, with an old Harold Melvin song called Wake Up, Everybody. We continue our conversation with journalists Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com and Dave Lindorf. As we mentioned, Dave has a piece fresh up on TruthOut.org today. And I know you both... it's actually a Truth Out.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, it's a second piece that talks more about the way he can do this or thinks he can do this without congressional authorization.
Ah, okay. Pardon me. Please continue.
Oh, that's okay. I haven't done that since yesterday, Larissa. I want to get serious here and read a couple of excerpts from the latest email that we got from Sam Gardner, the retired Air Force colonel that we referenced in the preceding segment that each of you have spoken with often. He opens with this. Cy Hirsch first mentioned it. Then yesterday, Larissa Alexandrovna wrote about it in the Raw Story. I've talked to both of them. I'm left with the impression their sources are different and in different parts of the government. I'm left believing the U.S.-Iran plan has a nuclear option. The target is most likely Natanz. From online photos of construction of this facility, we know there are 3 meters of concrete, 18 meters of soil. While attending a security conference in Berlin, I asked the Iranian ambassador to the IAEA about Natanz. He talked about 2 floors. That could mean the important part of the facility is even deeper. A few months ago, a Guardian reporter told me the plan was being written with 80% confidence requirements. In other words, after 5 days of strikes, we want to be 80% confident we've destroyed an individual target. Given this rather normal 80% confidence requirement, it's easy to see how the target people could conclude we can't have that kind of confidence without using a nuclear weapon. The planned weapon is probably the B-61. My guess is it would be used with a yield of less than 10 kilotons. It would be delivered by a B-2. The fireball, however, would be above ground. There would be fallout. The only good news is that the pattern from Natanz would mean the radiation would miss most populated areas. It's difficult to exaggerate the significance of the plan. The United States would be only the second country in 61 years to use WMD. The other was Iraq. The taboo against the use of nuclear weapons has been in our interests. The United States would break that taboo. To prevent the development of nuclear weapons, we could commit an act of normalizing nuclear weapons. To prevent the spread of nuclear weapons, we could initiate a global movement to acquire them. On the morning after that flash in the desert, the security structure of the world would change. We will have set in motion effects we can't even imagine. Signed, Sam. Now, this is distressing in a number of ways. Dave, your reaction first?
Well, this is like, you know, a nightmare. And the worst thing about it is that we're not getting this kind of stuff reported where the average American can even read about it. I've been stunned by the fact that aside from the Time article, which, you know, didn't address the issues of what the U.S. going to war in Iran would mean, you know, legally and everything, constitutionally, that nobody else is even writing about this or on television. It's just not there.
Right.
I had an experience where I actually was contacted by the producer of the Paul Azan show on the weekend saying that they were thinking of doing something on it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then she called back and sort of seemed very embarrassed and said, well, we decided that we can't do it because it's been replaced by the follow-up on the Governor McGreevy story.
Oh, I thought maybe it was George Allen's macaca or maybe one of those awful criminal cases where moms have been stealing babies from the wombs of other moms. I mean, that's the kind of dreck that they parade on TV at a time when there are far more important stories in the news.
Well, it doesn't get any more important than starting a third war while you're losing two other ones.
That's very well put.
It's unbelievable that you know, people are not having this shoved down their throats and in their faces all day long.
Larissa, your turn.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, for the last, I don't know how long, 2 years, it was mostly Laura Rosen, myself, and Cy Hirsch, and then others joined in, and Warren Strobel recently wrote an article. Granted, it wasn't, you know, anything new that obviously those of us who have been following this are familiar with. There was nothing new. But Warren Strobel, you know, is a very visible reporter, and I think that's progress. I think the fact that James Bamford wrote about it in Rolling Stone is also progress. But I agree overall that the establishment media is not touching this. And my sense from talking to various colleagues and such is that they failed so miserably during the pre-war buildup toward Iraq that they're afraid to touch this. They're afraid to be right or wrong, I think. That said, I also think that people can't believe that these guys would actually consider this or even do it. I can't tell you how many times I've been told that there's absolutely no way. This is just purely crazy. They're not going to do this.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this is what I hear, too. It's not, they say these people aren't crazy, and I agree. They're not crazy, and they're not doing this because they're crazy. They're doing it because they're desperate.
Right. Well, desperate or crazy is somehow, I think, the same intersection because
it ends up the same.
Right. I mean, the consequences are earth-shattering, and, you know, I can't believe that that no one cares that we've already begun using a terrorist proxy that's already assassinated 22 people in a country that's done nothing to us, and it presents no threat, no immediate threat, or no threat even in the near future that we can verify for sure. The fact that we've already started assassinating governors and local leaders in the southern region in order to destabilize a sovereign nation, and no one's paying attention to this, is just astounding to me.
Well, and there seems to be part of the scenario plan is that we launch these airstrikes and missile strikes against the presumably 400 targets that we've heard about.
But wait, those targets, the fact is they don't know those targets to be they don't know that there's actually anything at those targets.
Understood, understood. My point is that they are then hoping that there's going to be some sort of a citizen uprising to overthrow the mullahs in Iran. And
I'll tell you what, Dave,
Larissa, we're running out of time in this segment. Can I hold you guys over for another 15 or 20 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that, because I want to open up the phone line, see if people have questions and comments for you. But there's more of this discussion I'd like to bring forward here in the next few minutes, and we're running out of time. So stand by for that. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com and Dave Lindorf, as we mentioned, his latest piece is a commentary that's up at truthout.org today, and I think it's a very important read. So stay with us, and if you'd like to call and talk with our two journalist guests, feel free to join us. The Free Speech Zone starts next hour, and you can call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Visit my website at peterbcollins.com and send me an email, too. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Down in Monterey.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Mark Knoller, live at the White House. It's a peacekeeping dinner of sorts underway in the old family dining room. President Bush is playing host to two allies in the war on terror who don't get along, Presidents Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan and Pervez Musharraf of Pakistan.
They are strong leaders who have a understanding of the world in which we live. They understand that the forces of moderation are being challenged by extremists and radicals.
But with the two leaders at his side, Mr. Bush made no mention of the disputes between them, especially Karzai's chart that Taliban forces are attacking Afghanistan from safe havens in Pakistan. Speaking in the Rose Garden, Mr. Bush stressed a shared commitment to a more hopeful future, closing with the words, "Let's go eat dinner." Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller. With more CBS News, here is Cammie McCormick.
In Bailey, Colorado, a gunman entered a high school today and took several students hostage. The student described what it was like during the ordeal.
We were in a room where the teacher closed all the doors, and we were up against the wall next to where the door was, behind tables in case someone came in.
The gunman released some of his hostages before shooting one student and then himself. He died. The student's believed to be in critical condition. The Park County Sheriff said he never thought something like this could happen in a rural community. Erratic winds have only made things worse for firefighters battling a huge wildfire north of Los Angeles as it gets very close to hundreds of homes in Ventura County. Burned nearly 150,000 acres. California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger today signed into law the nation's first statewide cap on greenhouse gas emissions, calling it a bold new era of environmental protection.
This is Steve Futterman in San Francisco. This is a very ambitious project. The goal is to reduce greenhouse emissions in California by 25%. The target date is 2020. The measure will put a cap on emissions by industrial plants, including refineries. New cars will have to be more fuel efficient. New high-rise buildings will have to be more energy friendly. And millions of trees will also be planted in major cities, this too to limit greenhouse emissions.
A pathologist now says Anna Nicole Smith's son died of a combination of drugs, including antidepressants.
Daniel Smith died as a result of the cumulative effects of methadone, Zoloft, and Lexapro. The cumulative effects of these three drugs, respiratory depression, is produced, leading to cardiac dysrhythmia and death.
Dr. Sarah Wecht was hired to conduct a private autopsy on the 20-year-old who died in his mother's hospital room in the Bahamas just days after the former model and reality show star had given birth to a baby girl. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished 19 points higher, very close to a record high, but didn't quite make it, finishing at 11,689. This is CBS News.
Attention men, Match.com has too many women. This is not a drill. We created a marketing campaign to attract as many of the most captivating women as possible. Well, it worked. Now we have more on our site than ever in recorded history. The odds are in your favor. Make your move with our Make Love Happen guarantee. If you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love. See site for details.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
They're not very big, but they can sure be mean. That's why some park officials in Mountain View, California are warning folks to be on the lookout for some very aggressive rodents.
The signs are posted on these sandwich boards, which are scattered around the park. They say simply, beware of squirrels.
Oh, they've been up for quite a while because the squirrel problem has been a big issue.
Lori Gibson jogging through the park this morning. Have you seen aggressive squirrels?
Yeah, I have. And one of the reasons why is because originally people used to feed them and they used to be able to get into the trash cans. And so now that they've closed certain trash cans, they're getting aggressive. It's like, hey, where's my handout?
The city has decided to start trapping the rodents after a four-year-old boy was attacked and bitten by a squirrel last week. Matt Bigler, CBS News, Mountain View, California.
A five-year-old Chicago girl who never woke up from the sedation after a dentist visit died today. She'd been given oral and intravenous sedatives as well as nitrous oxide gas to have two cavities worked on. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
It's the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today, and this is where we head into the free speed zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. And my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I'm going to say it again. 888-573-8372. I can think of no more important issue than trying to stop what appears to be a forthcoming war against Iran, launched by the Bush administration. We've spent the last half hour with two journalists who have been working on these issues in depth, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com and Dave Lindorf, who, as we mentioned, has a piece fresh up today at TruthOut.org. And I want to open up the lines here because you may have questions, you may have doubts or skepticism, and I'd like to hear your thoughts, hear your questions, and we have two people here who know more than I do about these issues, and let's share their expertise. So they'll stay with us for at least another segment, and if you would like to call, now's the time to do so at 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372. Larissa, Dave, next I want to turn to what is clearly speculative, and I want to underscore that. but I'd like to know what you're hearing about potential timelines. And let me frame it this way, that if Bush and Rove think that they are vulnerable to losing control of the House and or the Senate in the November 7th elections, they might feel the need to launch this before the elections, hoping, A, that it would be the Hail Mary that shows they're tough on terrorism and galvanizes their base to turn out and cows the Democrats and progressives into submission. The other side of it is, if they play their hand too fast and too big, it could produce the kind of reaction that, as Larissa recounted, has not occurred in the United States to date. We've had a series of outrages that have failed to properly outrage the bulk of the American population. So, Larissa, turning to you first, what is your sense about the timing and the issues that will be weighed as a decision to strike might be made?
Well, I mean, and again, this, as you said, this is very speculative. I have no concrete evidence to support what I'm about to say. I'm just kind of basing this on what I've heard and what I've been reporting. And it's nothing new from what I've been saying all along, and that is my personal opinion is that it will be before the election. However, that said, there are people, most people with whom I speak believe that it will be immediately after the election, or at least the order will be given immediately after the election, and that the strikes will happen before Christmas. Again, this is purely speculative.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
Hearsay that I can't possibly confirm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dave, your thoughts?
I would put a lot of money on it being before the election, and I'll tell you why. I see absolutely no benefit to the administration in attacking Iran after the election. I mean, first of all, it's going to be an utter, total disaster for America when the attack happens, because we know that oil will spike to $150, $200 a barrel. There's really almost no ceiling to where it'll go, because, you know, you take Iran, the second largest producer of oil, out of the picture. You end up with the Persian Gulf shut down, because the Iranians will mine the Straits of Hormuz, and probably also get their allies in Saudi Arabia to blow up the Saudi pipelines and port facilities. And so you end up with no oil, basically, from the entire Middle East. And so that's it for the world economy. You can kiss that goodbye. That becomes a global depression. I mean, the consequences are just mind-boggling. And so it'll far worse than the economic crisis that was caused after 9/11, when Wall Street was blown out, you know, taken out for a few days.
Right, and you haven't even touched on the potential for mayhem in Iraq, mayhem against
Pakistan,
nominal allies.
There'll be a huge uprising in Pakistan, and Musharraf will probably be history. And then, you know, all the nukes that are floating around in Pakistan will be in the hands of not only an Islamic state, but probably terrorist factions and mm-hmm. everything else, and you know, repeats all over the Middle East.
Another Hezbollah adventure.
Hezbollah can reattack. Mm-hmm. You know, they can ignite again. It just goes on and on. And so, why? There's no reason on earth why Bush and Cheney would want this in the abstract. I mean, it destroys the economy. It means that, you know, the Republicans are in crisis for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but, you know, we didn't even mention that they're going to turn the Shia militias in Iraq, who have been ignoring American troops and spending their time killing Sunnis.
Yeah.
Well, they'll turn them loose, like the Badr brigades, which mm-hmm. are much larger than anything that U.S. forces have been confronting, against our guys. So, you know, suddenly Iraq will be like a Vietnam with, you know, hundreds of casualties mm-hmm. a week, not four and five casualties.
I've got a full switchboard here, so let's take some calls, all right? Chris from Salinas, you're up first. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Dave Lindorf and Larissa Alexandrovna.
Yeah, it's great to hear you guys. I just want to know, and I just started listening, so I'm not sure if you touched on it, but where is he going to get the authorization to attack Iraq?
All right, that's,
I mean, Iran.
Yeah, we did touch on that, and I want to direct you to truthout.org to a lengthy commentary that Dave wrote that is published today and very powerful. But, Dave, recap that for us.
Well, just very quickly, Bush claims that he's the commander-in-chief in a war on terror that the Congress supposedly made him commander-in-chief for it back in October of 2001 when they actually were authorizing him to attack Afghanistan and Al-Qaeda. So he claims that as commander-in-chief in a war that never ends, he can do basically whatever he wants and ignore the Constitution, the Geneva Conventions, laws, doesn't matter.
Right. Was he calling them terrorists then?
Yes,
I mean, I thought it was
yes
only
he
terrorists.
Did. That was a crucial point that he made in his speech at the UN, was he said that the leaders of Iran are supporters of terror. So he's added them to his war on terror, which means he thinks he can do, or he says he can do whatever he wants. But I just wanted to say that, you know, on this timing thing, Peter, that that the advantage, all, so there's no reason to attack after the election. It's madness to attack after the election. But before the election, they don't care what happens afterwards, because the thing they're afraid of is that it's clear that Democrats are more and more likely now, it looks, to take over the House. And that means guaranteed impeachment hearings, because there are 39 members of the impeachment caucus ready to file impeachment bills.
They're doubling down. Chris, thank you.
They have to do this.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Can Congress stop this? I mean, if he really is going to press the button or whatever he's going to do, can Congress step in and say, hey, you can't do this?
Well, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a scary thing is that in this latest article that I was writing, I wanted to find out what types of briefings the Gang of Eight. The Gang of Eight is, you know, the authorized group of people in Congress who are allowed to see classified information.
It's the leadership and the heads of the intelligence
committee. Right, exactly. And usually they don't see it
Thank
anyway.
You.
Okay, bye, Chris. Go ahead, Larissa.
But I was calling around to find out just who was briefed, if the Gang of Eight, if the intelligence community in the Congress, the various committees, the armed services and such.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's been briefed on these deployment plans. And just as with the MEK, no one has been briefed on what is going on with our own military and our own commander-in-chief and his orders. And amazingly, you would think that nobody cares, because I've yet to see anyone. You know, I've seen obviously a few people like Congressman Kucinich and others, you know, try to hold hearings and try to get information. But really, I don't see anyone all that interested.
Yeah.
And that is what's more frightening, I think.
Well, and what I've been arguing is the Democrats should launch a filibuster in the Senate on the detainee torture military tribunal bill, and that somebody should introduce legislation, if only for debate and to frame the issues, saying that it is the sense of Congress that the president does not have permission or authorization to launch such a military strike.
Sure, and I actually think that they shouldn't go on recess. The Democrats should stay and hold down the fort, frankly, because, as David said and I've said before, in my personal opinion, this is a pre-election campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're out campaigning for re-election, the country is going to be taken into a third war. I think if they want to, you know, do a service to this country, they should stay.
Well, unfortunately, they're not in the majority, so they can't extend the session.
They do have ability. Here's the thing. While they're not in the majority, that's true, and they don't have subpoena power, they have other things that they can do. They could have shut down Congress. They could have walked out. They could have shut down Congress.
Well, Pelosi tried a gambit the other day, calling a special closed session of the House to discuss the national intelligence estimate, and on party line vote, she was turned down. I got to go to another break. Can I ask you to stay with us for another 15 minutes, both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, Dave and Larissa, thanks. And the switchboard is full, so we'll get to your calls here just as quickly as we can. And I won't give out the numbers so we don't frustrate other people. It's 16 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rolling Real Estate. Listen every Sunday morning at 10 and learn from the experts about investing, 1031 exchanges, exit strategies, and the big question, when the real estate market goes down, is it the time to sell or buy? Rock Rolling Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Once again, good afternoon. Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540 into and out of our Monterey Peninsula. We're going to begin in Soquel. Soquel Drive at Park Avenue, an accident on the right-hand shoulder. It's a two-car crash there. South of Gilroy on Highway 101. This is southbound 101 at the split off to 25. Again, southbound 101 at the 25 split. A five-foot-long pipe, a metal pipe, apparently rolling around the left lane. And that's been around there for a couple of minutes. Just a reminder, northbound on Highway 1 at Emmeline Avenue. The Emmeline Avenue off-ramp closed for long-term work and long-term detours are in place. That word brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry in to Mattress Discounters today and on approved credit. You'll make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters discount prices every day. Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. We're talking about the information that two journalists have been sharing with us this afternoon. Dave Lindorf and Larissa Alexandrovna were talking about the forthcoming possible military action against Iran. I've got one line open if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And next up, we've got Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed. You're on the air.
Hello. What's the what kind of odds are they giving that this will take place, an attack on Iran? Do you think it's...
Well, this isn't a sport book.
I know it's not a sport book, but I was just thinking of the... It looks like it would be an economic tsunami and it would cover the whole world, not to mention the nuclear fallout that comes from it. But it doesn't...
Well, this seems to be an upside-free opportunity. I honestly cannot see what benefit we would get from launching this attack, because if we stirred up a hornet's nest with our invasion and occupation of Iraq... This is simply a multiple of that.
Well, but it would justify an endless war. You know, let's not forget the PNAC playbook. I mean, this is exactly what's been described as, you know, as the mission is a global war on terror, a realignment of Middle Eastern states and political reorganization. I mean,
not to mention a one-party state.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to finish the point I was making before quickly about the Democrats.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Democrats are functioning as though the Constitution still applies. They're voting down party lines. They're doing this. They're doing that. And I don't think it's going to work when only one group of people recognize a contract. I think, in my opinion, they're just going to have to. Do you remember when Reid pulled the Rule 21 stunt and he over phase two and he shut down the Senate?
Right.
The amount of media attention and the amount of control the Democrats had over that conversation was very unique. And that can be done again.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of attention can be used as a national platform to explain to the public in very basic terms that we are a banana republic, essentially.
Yeah.
That we have a presidency gone wild.
Well, I'd like to see them use the filibuster. They've already apparently tipped their hand that they won't use it regarding the detainee legislation. But you know, the shorthand in Washington is that if we use a filibuster, that Frist would impose the so-called nuclear option to end cloture as a practice in the United States Senate.
But
well, if there's ever a case to confront the so-called nuclear option, it is over the prospect of using a nuclear weapon on Iran to prevent them from developing a nuclear weapon.
You've got it. You just summarized it perfectly.
One question: is there any help of having our own coup here in the United States and the military uprising saying, no, we're not going to do this?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, because he's forced all the
Ed, are you looking wistfully at Thailand right now and saying
and it's not something I would advocate openly either, Ed.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah, especially given that
I don't want it. I think that's been our strength, that we haven't had that.
And by the way, that's Ed in Aptos.
Yes, I told your caller that you should spring and get her down to Monterey and show her around our beautiful area.
All right, thanks, Ed. I appreciate the call. Go ahead, Dave.
Is something that happened in Vietnam, which was a sense of mutiny among the rank and file troops. I mean, I think that we're reaching a point where the professional army, particularly the guard guys and the reserve guys who didn't really sign up for this war, you know, that the level of frustration at the just sellout leadership that's running these guys through the grinder, and it's going to be a hell of a lot worse once they're fighting the Bader Brigades, you know, that people recognize the insanity of this. I know a few guys in the Navy who say that just disgust at the Pentagon leadership and at the administration is rampant through the Navy.
All right, let's go to...
And you know, I would like to say, though, however, and I do think there is already some, I guess you could call it mutiny. It's bizarre, but I almost have a sense that degrading the U.S. military is almost an objective here. If you look historically, it appears that what we're doing is outsourcing the military because we have a non-functioning military. So we're outsourcing to corporate kind of mercenaries, and that's what's giving me a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah, I was over at the website Hessians.com, and it says they're hiring right now. Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hello, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I have a scenario that maybe the last caller talked or touched on, and it's you see the military retired generals rebelling somewhat against Rumsfeld and the administration. I am thinking that there may be a military coup in this country. If it would be stopped and Bush would overcome it, he would declare martial law, and then it doesn't matter what Congress says anyhow after that.
Well, frankly, I do not see it in our military today, and I could be mistaken, but, Joe, that's my pretty strong impression.
And yeah. I don't think it's something we want anyway.
No, that's down the wrong road.
I agree on both counts, yeah.
Well, you know, you've got a lot of people are pushing for pulling for the Democrats in this next election. A lot of people don't understand that the Democrats and Republicans are owned by the same people who rule this world.
Well, there's a strong point to be made there. The Democrats have become the number two corporate party in the country, and they are responding to the same interests that the Republicans respond to 4 out of 5 times. Larissa, Dave, we're going to wrap up here. Let me get a quick comment to close from each of you. Larissa first.
My quick comment is that my constant talking about Iran is not to scare people, but to hopefully provide them with the tools that they're not getting from what used to be the established Fourth Estate to make decisions about the election and to use their citizenship in a way that's constructive by contacting their members of Congress and trying to galvanize them, create a grassroots movement to hold accountable this administration and to stop them from waging a nuclear war.
I'm out of time. Dave Lindorf, Larissa Alexandrovna, thank you very much for joining us today. Powerful
Thanks
information
for having us on.
That we needed to hear. More of your calls and comments coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio with Jack Page.
Hey, wow, Sheila, I'm so excited about our show.
Our show?
Reality Radio.
Oh, my show.
Hey, we'll be talking about things that really matter in life. Day-to-day struggles, our children, money.
Aging, our fears, anger, and all with a touch of humor.
We'll take your calls and have the Central Coast's most colorful guests.
Every Saturday afternoon, 4 to 5.
Reality Radio with the amazing Sheila Gale.
And the hilarious Jack Page on AM 540 KRXA.
Love it.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Are you expecting a new baby? It can be confusing to sort out what you need and how to get your home and life ready. I'm Nurse Rona. Join us Sunday for suggestions on how to prepare physically and emotionally for your baby's first few months.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're just halfway through the free speech zone today. There's room for your call right now at 888-5-PETER-B. I want to thank Dave Lindorf and Larissa Alexandrovna for going into overtime with us today, but I think the issues are so important, and maybe you're tired of hearing me rant about it, but I really believe that we've got a serious set of problems on our hands, that the administration is not listening, the Democrats are not fighting, and we're on a path here that is, it can lead to some very serious and complex problems down the road. And it appears that most Americans are more interested in Paris Hilton's driving record, Anna Nicole Smith's, who the actual father of her baby is, and all that kind of distractomatic stuff. And so I appreciate your comments, and if you'd like to talk about this issue, there's room for your call right now at 888-5-PETER-B. In numbers, that's 888-573-8372. And up next, Dave in the Pinnacles joins us. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Great. Hey, I'm sorry I didn't get in to talk to your guest, because I think I have a question that I think a lot of us probably are pretty interested in.
Okay,
you know, I'm no fan of George Bush. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, and I know you're not.
Okay. what my point is what philosophy do we adopt to relate to these psychopathic, theocratic states that want to develop these cataclysmic weapons? And how do we deal with these people? I know, you know, it's like we don't want to do what George Bush wants to do, but say, presuming that we can rein in George Bush and hopefully get him impeached and put him in a box, how are we going to deal with this Iranian that thinks that the path to nirvana is through a cataclysmic act of violence? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, you know, these issues are intertwined. And, you know, one of the reasons that Iran has been more aggressive in asserting its independence, asserting its desire to obtain nuclear power, and I believe they want a nuclear weapon. I'm not fooled by their misrepresentation that they just want to generate electricity with nukes. But you have to look at the provocation that started with the Axis of Evil speech, and then went to the action that we took to invade the neighbor and former archenemy of Iran, Iraq. And so it's not an accident that Iran has taken a more aggressive position, because the U.S. has parked 150,000 soldiers and is building permanent bases in the nation just to their north.
Well, exactly.
And to your larger point, you know, a lot of people who attack progressives for attacking the Bush administration claim that we don't acknowledge the threat, we don't recognize the potential of terrorists who hurt the United States. And that's not true. I understand the risks that we face, but we are not going to change the nature of those who hate us and want to attack us by projecting military force, introducing a foreign concept like democracy, and trying to impose it on a nation like Iraq. And when we do things like condone torture, legislate the limitation of rights, basic human rights, to those that we choose to detain indefinitely, We are projecting to the rest of the world an image that permits them to continue to agitate against the United States. And don't take it from me. Take it from the National Intelligence Estimate. All right?
Well, I agree with you to the point that this provocation is not the path to take. But, Peter, you have not answered, really, say you just take this out of the book. You take Bush out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
How do we prevent a theocratic state from developing nuclear weapons? How do we stop it legally?
Well, wait a minute. First of all, what basis do we have to prevent anyone from developing a nuclear weapon?
Well, that's kind of the question that I'm asking.
We're highly selective and extremely hypocritical.
Yeah, we certainly are.
In managing the whole non-proliferation issue. So we tolerate Pakistan, we embrace India, both of whom have acquired nukes outside of the non-proliferation structures. And then we key in on North Korea and Iran and say they can't have them.
Exactly.
Well, Iran and North Korea are saying, well, how different are we from India? And we don't have an answer.
Exactly. Well, the threat, to me, the biggest threat of all is a Taliban takeover of Pakistan, which is, to me, is more probable than anything else.
Well, and Musharraf has no business being out of his country this long on a frickin' book tour. I mean, one of the real ironies would have been if there had been a military coup in Pakistan while Musharraf was taping The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Would have been a daily double with Thailand, huh?
I guess so. Dave, thank you for your call, as always. I appreciate hearing from you today. Next, we go to Kevin in Watsonville. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, Kevin, that's the last thing I want to hear. Thank you for calling. I don't even know what you're going to say or what your point of view is, but I appreciate your contribution to the show. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but it seems that we live in a sick world that someone was put in power by the Supreme Court, and I really believe that this person is just a puppet of somebody in corporate America or the Illuminati that is, you know, the world's richest people that have all the power. And it's sick that Bush campaigned on his family values, and he has done more to hurt the family of man on this planet than any other president has or ever will be. And I don't know if it's because he's a born-again Christian that he wants Armageddon to happen, but as far as I'm concerned, let him go have his little Armageddon and leave my family and this planet alone.
You mean you're not ready for the end times?
No, I'm not.
You're not worried about being left behind?
No, I'm agnostic. And I believe that everybody has the right to their own spirituality, but don't force it upon everyone.
Well, I share that sentiment, and it is frightening that here's a president who claims to be part of the Third Awakening, who connects with evangelicals and embraces their sense of spirituality, and he claims to embrace their sense of morality. Yet morality is defined as opposing men marrying men. It's defined as trying to block a woman's right to choose an abortion. It's defined as limiting stem cell research on the phony notion that an embryo is the equivalent of a fetus. And I could go on and on, but I'm preaching to a converted person. And the point here is, Kevin, that there's a deep disconnect between what they claim to be moral and what I see as morality. I don't care about men kissing men or having sex with other men or marrying them. That's, not an essential issue to me. But when, in my name, my country launches a failed war and then a misguided invasion and occupation of Iraq, and now we're prepared to add a third front to the mess that we've created, as if, as you point out, this is an invitation for the good Lord to bring on the end times.
Well, it used to be our forefathers, in their infinite wisdom, made a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And I've never missed a chance to vote, but it's almost getting to the point now where it really doesn't make any difference. I'm not ready to say that. I will continue to vote. I will never, ever pass
Kevin,
up.
It makes more of a difference because we need to overcome the margin of graft and fraud from electronic voting machines and manipulated elections and suppressed turnouts.
Well, it's just...
I understand it's discouraging, but please don't give up.
Oh, no. I would never, ever give up. I've only begun to fight. But it's just they throw so many monkey wrenches in to take away our freedoms, and then they say that if you're not for them, you're for the terrorists.
Yeah.
And I love my country. I would do anything for it. But I still have enough of a brain to tell me what the difference. And this doesn't make any difference if you're Republican, if you're Democrat, a Libertarian, whatever. What is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong.
Do you have you turned into or developed a habit of watching Keith Olbermann?
I watch C-SPAN, but I haven't had a chance. I've heard good things said about him. But
well, it's really impressive, and I don't want to sound paranoid, but I got an email today from one of my media sources, and there is a rumor that there is a facelift planned for MSNBC. And that they're going to shift it into playing these like Dateline shows and those awful crime documentaries that they use late at night now. And if so, it would push Chris Matthews, Scarborough, and Olbermann over to CNBC. But I think it also could be used as an excuse to get rid of Keith. So I want to point it out because I have no inside information to that effect, but Keith Olbermann has been making such courageous statements on corporate television on almost a nightly basis that it surprises me that the suits that run NBC General Electric permit him to stay on the air. After all, they silenced Phil Donahue because he was speaking out against the Iraq war at an inconvenient time, just as we were getting ready to invade. And I consider Keith Olbermann to be rare, courageous, and perhaps an endangered species, so please watch him while you can.
Well, this smoke that the right boils up about the liberal media, the media should have been hammering Bush from the day he even thought about running for the presidency. We're supposed to have an open, transparent government to where the people know what the issues are. But it's been so secretive that it's, and I'm not going to go comparing Bush to the Nazi Party, but it's propaganda, and it's just half-truths.
Yep.
And
it's fascism, too. We spent a half hour last week identifying the 14 factors of fascism, and it fits the Bush administration better than that glove fit O.J. Simpson.
I was able to listen to the show.
Yeah, good.
And it's just pathetic that the average American believes all this stuff and doesn't have the constitution of their own personality to be questioning all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they take it hook, line, and sinker.
Kevin, I thank you for the call. Good to have you listening.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Just don't thank me for taking your call. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. This just came across my email about a half hour ago. The White House refused today to release in full the previously secret intelligence assessment, the NIE, that depicts a growing terrorist threat and has fueled the election season fight over the Iraq war. Press Secretary Tony Snow said releasing the full report, portions of which President Bush declassified on Tuesday, would jeopardize the lives of agents who gathered the information. Let me refute that directly. Last night on television, a Democrat from Texas, who's on the Armed Services Committee, flatly stated that he had read the entire NIE and that no sources or methods are disclosed or reported or described in any way, shape, or form. Tony Snow is lying. Tony Snow is blowing smoke. I don't know what it is in the section of the NIE that the White House wants to refuse to disclose. I don't know what's there. But I don't believe him when he says that if they, released it to us, that it would jeopardize sources and methods. I just don't believe it. More of your calls directly here. You can call me at toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540 into and out of our Monterey Peninsula. We're going to begin actually south of Gilroy on southbound Highway 101 at near the turnoff to Highway 25. It's a 5-foot-long stretch of metal pipe that was rolling around the left lane. Caltrans there to try and clear it away. In Soquel Drive at Park Avenue, an accident on the right-hand shoulder. Two cars involved in that. And on city streets in Salinas, Davis Road at Ambrose Drive, an accident, two cars involved, that is reportedly blocking that intersection. The CHP is now on scene. And that we're brought to you by Advil. Aches and pains keeping you up. Big news. New Advil PM is here. The multi-pain reliever power of Advil plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I continue to be your humble host, Peter B. Coming up on the program tomorrow, John Stauber is going to join us. He's one of the experts in my Rolodex on federal food safety issues. And we're going to talk about the spinach civil war that has hit Salinas Valley very, very hard. That's tomorrow afternoon here on the Peter B. Collins Show. More of your calls in just a second. But I want to respond to Chris and Salinas because I understand the question he raised. And that is, or whoever it was, I'm sorry if I've mixed up one caller with another. But the question is, you know, it was Dave. Dave from the Pinnacles who said, you know, how do we handle these jihadists with weapons and terrorist tactics? Well, we have to look at our own role in fueling their growth and their popularity and the recruiting that Iraq has helped them with. And don't take my word for it. Take this national intelligence estimate, which has been partly declassified by the president and released. The Iraq conflict has become the cause celeb for jihadists, breeding a deep resentment of U.S. involvement in the Muslim world and cultivating supporters for the global jihadist movement. Should jihadists leaving Iraq perceive themselves and be perceived to have failed, we judge fewer fighters will be inspired to carry on the fight. I don't know if I buy that. we assess that the Iraq Jihad is shaping a new generation of terrorist leaders and operatives. Perceived jihadist success there would inspire more fighters to continue the struggle elsewhere. I think that's a little more on target. One more paragraph here. Four underlying factors are fueling the spread of the jihadist movement. Entrenched grievances such as corruption, injustice, and fear of Western domination, leading to anger, humiliation, and a sense of powerlessness. Two, the Iraq Jihad. Three, the slow pace of real and sustained economic, social, and political reforms in many Muslim-majority nations. And four, pervasive anti-U.S. sentiment against most Muslims, all of which jihadists exploit. Now, add a war against Iran. Add an unprovoked military attack by the United States on Iran. And tell me that that's going to improve the picture. That's going to make America safer from the threat of terrorists and jihadists. Let's see, line two is Marianne in Pacific Grove, and you're on the air, Marianne.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
I have just made up my mind to contact as many politicians as I can to put a bill into Congress, which I hope will get some noise, that anybody running or rerunning for national office should read and pass a test on the Constitution. How about that? How simple, huh?
Reading is fundamental, and that's the kind of fundamental reading that every member should undertake.
Well, I don't think most of them have, and as you said on another program, they're not teaching civics in school anymore.
Yeah.
And I think politicians have gotten away from the Constitution. They just don't know it.
Well, I think they know it all too well. I think they're turning a blind eye due to self-interest, party politics, and cowardice.
True, but they're doing it because they can. And I think it's time to rein them in and get them back to basics, which they are representing us as politicians, and they need to know their law.
All right, Marianne, I appreciate the comment. Thank you very much. Let's go to Steve in Watsonville. Hello, Steve, you're on the air.
Damn, Peter.
Hey, clean up your language, man. You're going to cost me a big, big fine from the FCC. Thank you very much. That's our entertainment portion of our broadcast day. And who's on line four here? Hello. Hello, is this Peter?
This is Amy.
Okay, Amy, you're on the air.
Hi. I was calling from Seattle. I know a moment ago you were talking about the whole jihadist thing in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And I was just curious if you had an opinion as to what would happen to the breeding grounds of terrorism, as they call it, if we were to tackle some of the, you know, the root causes, like poverty and hunger in the
mm-hmm.
region?
Mm-hmm.
Like tackling basically the achievement of the UN Millennium Goals, which the world has apparently signed on to, but the U.S. has not made a priority.
Well, when I get really hard-nosed and real politic, I think we need a two-pronged strategy. I think we need to address those root cause issues that you describe.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that we need to take out the clear operatives who are enemies of our country and who want to do us harm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I am so bitter about the war in Iraq, because it's a total distraction and diversion from the true issue, which was to respond to the sequence of events that started with the original World Trade Center bombing, then went to the embassies in North Africa, then the coal, and ultimately on 9/11. And, you know, I don't want to take those issues lying down. I'm not a passivist. I like to be a pacifist, but in a world like this, that's very hard. But I'll never be a passive person. And I don't think that we should just lay down and say, oh, Osama, yeah, you know, you're okay. There has to be a two-pronged strategy, and we haven't pursued either one in a meaningful way. And to accept that we have not captured Osama, and that we've permitted our little poodle, Musharraf, in Pakistan to become his host and to strike a deal with the Taliban and with Karzai in Afghanistan. They're having dinner at the White House right now, Musharraf and Hamid Karzai with the president. Isn't that? Wouldn't you love to be there? And, you know, we have not tackled that real issue. And I'm not saying that capturing or killing Osama bin Laden would wipe out al-Qaeda, but that's where you got to focus, and we have been focused on other issues, and that's the real mistake and tragedy of the Bush administration.
Agreed.
Well, thanks for calling from Seattle.
You.
Great to have you listening online.
Bye.
All righty. And Peter V. and Salinas, you're next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
Howdy.
I would like to add somewhat of a bright, shiny ending to a rather depressing program today.
All right.
I think until we learn how to kill people with kindness, we don't really have much of a long-term solution. And with that, I think at having spent $500 billion and have been an abject failure, have we reached the point where we need to start considering dropping dinars from the sky instead of these bombs? What do you think, Peter?
Well, it would make a lot more sense. It would build a lot more positive feeling for the United States. And, of course, you know, you have to couple that with other meaningful policies, such as, you know, respecting the sovereignty of other nations. And, you know, you can agitate for a regime change, but just like we wouldn't welcome someone to come over here and knock off an unpopular president like Bush, we wouldn't welcome a military coup either. I do not, you know, feel that we could ever expect to be welcomed in Iraq, even though we took out an awful dictator despot.
Well, there, Peter, you bring up my final point for the day, which is the golden rule. That which we would expect for ourselves, we should expect for the rest of humanity. And none of this administration passed that very simple litmus test. Again, Peter, I'm so grateful for what you bring and your guests. At this dark time, we really do need the beacon on the SS Collins more than anything. Again, thank you, Peter.
My pleasure, and thank you, Peter. I'm going to saddle up Trigger here. Right off into the sunset. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Asalit of Claudie's Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie's Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie's Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facial peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Asalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Mark Noller at the White House. There was no guessing about who came to dinner.
These two men are personal friends of mine.
That was President Bush's welcome this evening to Presidents Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan and Pervez Musharraf of Pakistan. He regards both as vital allies in the war on terror, despite growing tensions between them on border security and handling extremists.
And so today's dinner is a chance for us to strategize together, to talk about the need to cooperate, to make sure that people have got a hopeful future.
Speaking to reporters in the Rose Garden as he led his guests to dinner, Mr. Bush said they all share the same outlook for a hopeful world. I'm Mark Noller at the White House. With more CBS News, here is Cammie McCormick.
A new poll of Iraqis finds about 6 in 10 of them approve of attacks on U.S. forces. Dr. Stephen Cull of the University of Maryland, which conducted the survey.
78% now believe that the presence of U.S. troops is provoking more conflict than it is preventing, that it's really a net negative for the security of the Iraqi people.
The poll also found Iraqis have poor opinions of Osama bin Laden and Iran's president, and a majority believe Iraq will survive the current turmoil and be one state 5 years from now. For many parents, it brought back the nightmare of Columbine. A gunman entered a high school in Bailey, Colorado today and took 6 students hostage. It was after releasing 4 of them that correspondent Lee Frank tells us police decided it was time to move.
The gunman was not directly talking with negotiators. He was only talking through one of the hostages, and then he set a deadline. At that point, the sheriff says they had no choice but to decide to go in to try and save the hostages. Apparently, when the officers burst into the classroom where the two girls were being held hostage, one of the girls was shot by the gunman, who then took his own life.
A hospital in Denver now says that student has died. A massive wildfire burning north of Los Angeles has prompted a call for more voluntary evacuations. Nearly 4,000 firefighters are doing battle with this blaze. It's grown to nearly 150,000 acres.
What firefighters are doing is they're trying to drown out this fire by pouring as much fire retardant and as much water on the lines as possible. They are attacking the lines right now because